All right. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon, Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is a Friday afternoon. Andrea Haines is in the studio. A little bit later, we're going to talk to Betsy Ziegler, who is the new incoming CEO of 1871, Andrea, I'm really looking forward. That's a big changing of the guard there.
It is. Yeah. You know, Howard Tolman, of course, has been there for 4 years or so, and so it'll be a big change.
I think you corrected me because I made the mistake of saying he was the first. He wasn't the first, right? He was
right.
The second.
Kevin Willer, who was previously with Google, now Chicago Ventures, was the first.
But it seems like Tolman sort of became synonymous with 1871.
Certainly in recent years. Yeah, he was a very, very out there leader, definitely was out there speaking a lot. He's sort of a thought leader. You know, he writes for Inc. magazine, gives a lot of speeches, so he's a very public-facing figure.
Yeah, and so we'll see. Betsy Ziegler comes from Kellogg, I think,
yes.
At Northwestern, and so we'll see what she has going on and her plans for the future. Well, nice to see you. Welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
You too, thanks.
We've been talking a lot this week about Walmart. You know, they came out with their e-commerce figures, and they were less this holiday season than they were before. Still up, I think it was by 23%, but much more the year before. So their stock sort of tanked earlier in the week. And you guys have a piece about how they're trying to increase their e-commerce, and they're doing it by making it more of a shopping-friendly experience, or explain that for me.
Yeah, they're looking at areas like home decor where you need to have maybe more of a shopping experience than just like running in to grab something, or, you know, even online, just jumping online to grab something.
So the website would be more of a destination to browse than to...
Exactly. You can browse, you can put together a room, and then hopefully you buy some things in the process. They're also creating sort of a shop by style option, so you can look for like modern, traditional, bohemian, and I think that reflects some of their competitors online, like Wayfair, other places that people are tending to go for like small furniture items and decor.
Tell me about Wayfair, because it's one of those names that's always been sort of there, but I'm seeing quite a lot of TV advertising from them lately.
They advertise heavily. Every time I go to Facebook, I get Wayfair ads.
So
yeah. Facebook knows I'm interested in home decor, I guess. They're kind of all over the place. Things like IKEA are popular, obviously, for lower cost furniture, and it's kind of interesting that Walmart also introduced a Scandinavian collection for children.
And they don't want to be Scandinavian, they just want to be IKEA.
Exactly. Well, right? They want to meet the need that, you know, now we've all created these design ideas that we want, and they can maybe help meet some of that need.
And so Walmart isn't going to ever beat Amazon, right? But they just want to carve out their area.
Yeah, everybody has, you know, Amazon. I feel like every week you and I talk about Amazon, because regardless of what industry you're talking about, almost they're, you know, it all comes back to Amazon. But Walmart is trying to, you know, also kind of up its game, and they're partnering with Ethan Allen as well, which I think is super interesting.
Walmart is?
Would we have thought Walmart plus Ethan
no.
Allen?
Well, that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because if I'm going to browse for home furniture, if I'm going to buy something from Walmart, I want to put this in a sensitive way, because I'm not going to buy high-end or long-term furniture at Walmart. I'm going to go there to buy some throw pillows or things like that, things that I don't care as much about.
Yep.
But they want me to go and look for long-term stuff like Ethan Allen furniture.
Yeah, and they're also doing things like lamps, you know, things where you can maybe hit that midpoint.
Right.
But yeah, so I think Amazon makes strange bedfellows, because everybody needs to figure out a way to do this e-commerce thing, and so you're getting some of these partnerships that are interesting.
Yeah, because they figure, well, Amazon knows how to do it, we might as well partner with them.
Yeah.
So Walmart is expecting a 40% increase this year in e-commerce, which is a pretty big jump, and would get them back in the game, I would imagine.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that. I was just talking off the air about I'm actually going to Mexico next week, and part of what we're going to do, I don't want to make a big deal, but part of what we're going to do is we're going to help people find eyeglasses that fit them and work for them. And so this sort of fits with this story you guys have with Google about how I'm imagining it's just with the machine, a patient looks into a machine and Google can tell them whether they're about to have a heart attack.
Yes, this is a super interesting story. Sort of back to your eyes here.
Right.
Where Google is like making kind of a tool where like there's an algorithm, it scans eyes, and it can give you early warning signs of heart disease, which of course is the biggest killer out there. So it's kind of one of those futuristic health kind of things that we sometimes talk about. And it's pretty cool, right?
So the idea is you would go to this machine look into it, and they could, by looking at your retina and things like that, they could see whether you're susceptible.
Yes.
Now, they're in the early stages, right? They're not saying that this is really as good as, typically it's done now with blood tests and things like that.
Yeah, it's things that you can have done. So it's not necessarily doing something that can't already be done, but it's doing it in a super fast way. So one of the interesting things is that the machines were able to use the scans to figure this out for themselves.
Yeah.
Like the machines were able to find the pattern that like X, Y, and Z signs physically in your eyes mean you're more likely to have heart disease.
So in other words, the developers didn't say, hey, if you see this, here's trouble.
Precisely.
They had so many people look in that they've started to find the warning signs themselves.
Yeah, the machines themselves intuited it, which is pretty interesting.
And so then I'm thinking that there's a kiosk at the mall where you could sit down, poke your eyes out into this thing, and get an early warning sign.
Yeah, that's exactly what, you know, the potential benefit would be, that like, even though now, yes, you can go to the doctor, be tested for all these things, maybe they can still find it. It creates a much easier screening method where you could test yourself, you know, and again, you think of maybe underserved communities or countries where they could right. just have a very easy way to scan for these problems.
I think I saw too, though, that, I mean, they're at 70% right now. So.
Yeah, 70% accuracy, which again, for a super early stage, doesn't seem right. terrible, right?
And this is the sign of things to come, isn't it?
Without it is. And it reminded me, in fact, the story mentioned it, you and I talked about this a couple months ago. That the Apple Watch was looking at, you know, ways to monitor, looking for signs of heart issues and stroke and things.
Right.
So it's all happening.
Oh, that's Apple Watch, right? So yeah, I'm wearing a Fitbit. I just showed you my Fitbit. That explains the blank look on your face.
Yeah.
When I did that. But right. So we'll see where that goes, because I do wear this Fitbit that tracks my heart rate, you know, and they say, you know, they give me a health, very, very excellent health, and which I know isn't true. So I don't know how reliable those things are,
yeah.
at least not just yet.
Well, and you can imagine, like, we were getting all this data and it all becomes, what are we using it for?
Right.
And some of these are maybe ways to flag problems earlier on.
Hey, tell me about Sterling Bay, and it's the old Montgomery Wards building, right?
Yes. So Sterling Bay has purchased this building, which houses Groupon. It's the old Montgomery Ward building at 600 West Chicago. And Sterling Bay has purchased it for $510 million.
And it's sort of like a tech hub itself, isn't it, over there?
It is. They've got a lot of tech tenants. Groupon is one, but then they also have in their Echo Global Logistics, Uptake, Lightbank, and the Big Ten Network.
It's kind of interesting to me that it's known now as the Google office, not the old Montgomery Ward.
Yeah, Groupon, like
the Groupon
office.
Groupon, rather.
Yep, yep, yep.
That's the first reference to it.
Yeah.
Now, Sterling Bay, we hear them everywhere, right? They're buying Prudential, too. Aren't they the ones up in potential Amazon headquarters?
They are. They've got their hands in a lot of things. So Ryan Ori from the Tribune Business section wrote about this, and I think Sterling Bay is one of those companies you may or may not hear of. If you follow the news, you hear of
right.
them. But once you hear of them, you realize their name is everywhere.
And watch them, too, because up in that Lincoln Yards project, that's where they're building that new stadium.
Exactly.
For a soccer
stadium,
team with it'll be the first retractable roof in Chicago.
Yeah. They're doing tons of cool stuff. They also did the Google building. They've done stuff for McDonald's. So they're doing a lot of the big name companies.
Andrea Haynes, the editor at Blue Sky Innovation. Real quick, what's coming up on Red Eye this week?
So Red Eye this week, Ben Meyerson did a tour of the Pedway. So if you want to get all over and do all kinds of things without actually having to come above ground, you can do
right.
that. Another thing I'll mention about Red Eye, we're looking for people's questions about celebrating St. Patrick's Day. So jump on redeyechicago.com and we have a thing up where you can post your questions and we will find you answers about the best way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Andrea Haynes, we'll see you again next week.
Thanks, Steve.
It's 12:21. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, we're going to do something. We're starting something new on the Biz Lunch. It's going to start next Wednesday, and it's a Wintrust Wednesday. So we're going to have experts from Wintrust coming in to answer questions of banking questions for businesses. But we want you guys to be involved as well. So I want you to text us. Our text line is 312-981-7200. Bennett's in my other ear because I'm still giving the 591 number. But that's it. I hope you got that. But text us in questions, particularly if you run a business, are involved in business, and you have a business banking question. We're going to work on addressing those every Wednesday. So you got a question about banking, ideally about business banking, text your question to us at 312-981-7200, and we'll get to those next week. Tom Gimbel's laughing at me.
I'm laughing with you.
No, it's okay to laugh at me.
You're
Tom Gimbel,
friend.
The CEO of LaSalle Network, is here. How
you
are
coming
you?
To our March Madness party in 2 weeks?
You know, I never miss it.
Yeah, absolutely. Take the train in that day. Get it. Come by on the way to the train.
All right. Why do you do this to me? Because you know I don't.
It's only fun. My life has minimal things like that where I can actually pick on people.
So let's talk about, you and I have talked about the job market. And once the job market tightens, how things will change, whether it's wages or whatever.
Yep.
And then we see there's a Home Depot story that Bennett pulled about how Home Depot now is allowing prospective employees to sort of call the own shots when it comes to the interview process.
The interviews. Well, you do it online, and so you have time components of everything, right? How long it takes to do a reference check, how long it takes to do the interview, but how long it takes to go back and forth with a candidate to set it up.
Right, right.
So, you know, and
miss the call, call back, phone tag.
Absolutely. And full disclosure, I don't work with Home Depot, so, you know, I have no skin in this game.
Right.
So what they're saying is, from my understanding, is we have the software and the technology. Calendars can be open access, and people put in their own times, and they show up. Which, if you're not connecting with another individual, my feeling on this is that there's the same. The pros and cons are different. The results will end up being pretty much the same.
Oh, what? Explain that for me. What do you mean?
Meaning, you'll save time on the front end, meaning people won't have to go back and forth to set up the interviews.
Right. But you'll have a lot of dog interviews.
You'll get a lot of dog interviews, and B, you'll get a lot of people because there is no personal connection to showing up. It's easier not to show up.
Oh, so they're just going to make a dinner reservation.
And not come.
I see.
Versus calling up, you know.
Right. So then to explain it again or to re-explain it, if you want to apply, you fill out the application, you fill it out online. Or they have like
it doesn't even go into that detail. So it could be that you just go in and sign up for an interview.
No,
slot.
I think you have to fill out
an application.
And then once you do that, then you can log on and choose like you're choosing a restaurant.
2 o'clock on Thursday, I'm going to show up for the interview.
And they're doing that because there's competition for finding these workers.
No, I think unemployment's low, so you want to get as many people in the door. The biggest problem with high volume recruiting is the recruiters or hiring managers screen people out. Right, I need somebody who's run a noon talk show in a certain market. Well,
they're a dime a dozen.
Well, how about the person from a very small market who might be awesome?
Right.
You don't get that person because they've never done it before.
Right.
And so the same thing. They're saying, I need somebody who's worked retail before, but somebody did in a totally another industry and they're willing to do it. Let's get those people in. So it's a way to get more people in faster. The question becomes, A, will the cancel rate go up? B, will you get more lemons coming in who can't do the job and they're desperate? And that's the problem. The unacceptable employment rate historically has been 2.5%. The 2.5% of the population are unemployable.
Okay.
Right?
And we're at what? We're at
3.9.
Okay.
Right? So you're pretty close, and depending on the market. So what it is in Atlanta versus Chicago versus Omaha versus Madison, Wisconsin is very different.
Right.
Right? So but the theory is eliminate the people aspect from scheduling and get more people to choose from.
I want to ask you about how that applies generally, but before I do, this is from a press release, and the Home Depot also talks about how they've got an app now for their new employees to learn as they go up and down the hallways.
Right.
But they use a phrase that I love. It says the mobile application that, quote unquote, leverages gamification.
Sure.
That's not new to you.
No, gamification. So actually, it's used in a lot of sales organizations, a lot of call centers, and so they take the activity that you do or the learning that you do, and they make it a game. So,
isn't that what we do to help five-year-olds spell?
That's pretty much the same. Right?
Yeah.
There is a theory to that, right? So some people come in there and say, you're treating me like an elementary school student, and other people will say, oh, you're making my job fun.
Right.
Right? You can't please all the, as my dad, right? You get some of the people all the time, all the people some of the time.
Can they do it? Could they teach me like in a version of solitaire? Because that's all I'm up to. I just play solitaire.
I think I sat next to you on an airplane. The challenge of gamification is.
You might have, but I win.
I win. You only play yourself. I hope so. So the real challenge is with gamification and doing self-teaching, right? It's great and it sounds awesome. Except for when I need to know where I find the nails that go into the certain kind of wood that I have.
Yeah.
And the guy's playing a game and he's trying, right?
Because he's doing his gamification in the hallway.
Yeah, I think the standpoint of what we're saying is everybody's got to save money. And everybody's got to figure out, if I can't find a good trainer, how am I going to train people? I'm going to create a software that can train people. Logically, it makes sense.
Sure.
Right? However, there's no substitute for one-on-one peer training. And that's what's being missed. And the customer will end up being hurt.
Tom Gimbel, the CEO of LaSalle Network, thanks for coming by.
Always good to be with you.
And if you want to slate another time, I've got an app. And you can just schedule whenever you'd like to be in.
I'm afraid you would. I'd show up. You wouldn't be.
There's a good chance of that. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, if you listen to the show regularly, you know a numerical phrase, is that the right way? Something we say more than most is 1871. Howard Tolman has led 1871 for the past several years, and they had a very public search for a new leader, a new CEO, and she is sitting in the studio with me, Betsy Ziegler. Welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And congratulations as well.
Thank you. I'm very, very excited.
Do you have any idea what you're getting into?
I don't. early days.
Well, yeah. There's really truth to that, isn't there? So let's back up a little bit. So, sure. 1871, you come from Kellogg, where you've been for almost seven years.
Yes.
And so from the outside, how do you see 1871 and what do you see as sort of your future there?
Yeah, so 1871 is an icon, certainly. I mean, it's only been around for 5 years, but it's made
funny,
this...
Funny, though, but it is an icon.
It is. I mean, I think it's the IT address in the city, if you're a young company, certainly, or if you're a corporation that wants to be connected to those young companies. Huge amount of sort of star power on campus for young companies coming from Kellogg that have the opportunity to be there, right? I mean, Howard and his team have built this remarkable thing in the last 5 years that it's just an honor and a privilege to get the reins to take it to the next level.
Well, we should say, too, there was an announcement today that 1871 won this 2018 UBI Global Award, top university-affiliated business incubator in the world.
That's correct.
Which says a lot.
Yes, and it's only a five-year-old institution. There are about over 1,300 incubators that were ranked.
Right.
And so to get number one out of 1,300 in 53 different countries represented, it's just amazing.
So what does 1871 do with something like that?
It represents the relationships they have with seven universities here in Chicago, and I think it's a huge platform to build from and extend from.
I think you've talked about that as well, the importance of being university related.
Sure.
And you come from that direction, from Kellogg. Yep. So explain to me the value of that and how you grow that.
Well, I think there's some natural connections with universities just on talent, right? And this idea, we've got two of the best business schools in the world within 10 miles of each other, terrific undergraduate institutions. And this idea that we can keep that talent here in Chicago, I think, is amazing. I think there's another side of it, that there's all this intellectual property being developed by faculty members who don't really have an interest in commercializing any of that. And could 1871 serve as a partner to some of those universities to help accelerate some
of
that?
So people who are teaching, right?
Yeah.
In the course of teaching are coming up with things.
Yes.
You're saying, and then how do we foster that and move that along?
Yes. And some of that happens on campus, certainly. And I haven't explored this in depth yet, but I have an intuition that there's an opportunity to expand that.
Right. Well, it's interesting to talk to you off the air and on, because you're very upfront about the fact that you don't really know what you're in for yet. No, but I think that's a great approach, a very honest approach. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn, and the only reason I'm in this chair is because of the work that Howard and his team have done over the last 5 years. So my job in the first 90 days is to learn as much as possible, have as many conversations as possible, and then develop my perspective on how to move forward.
And to be effective, you can't be a mimic.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, so Howard and Annette was great, but you've got to take your own course.
Yes. Howard is an amazing man. You've had the opportunity to meet him.
Sure.
Not everybody has. He is an icon in and of himself.
Yeah.
Right? And so when I think about his personality and what he's done and my personality, we're pretty different people, but we are both deeply passionate about this space and, care a lot about having impact.
But he's very very visible.
He's
sort of the face of it. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you'll be the face of it?
My expectation is going to be to be the face of it. I don't know if me being the face of it will show up exactly the same way that Howard does.
Right.
My plan in at least the first couple of months is to try to replicate what he's done, because he set an expectation for the community that I plan to try to replicate. And then after that, get my sea legs, figure out what makes the most sense for me and the organization at this point in time.
A lot of talk about diversity in the tech world.
Yes.
Here you are, the first woman to lead 1871.
Yes.
Third person overall. So it's
in five years. So
there is that.
Yeah.
But it's not insignificant that you are a woman leading this. And I would imagine that diversity, whether it's race or gender or ethnicity or anything, is something that you'll be looking at.
For sure.
How do you foster a diverse 1871?
Yeah. I think first I'd like to say that
let me back up.
Yep.
Before we do that, let's establish why. What's the importance or the value of a diverse 1871?
Well, I think it's well proven that the more diverse teams, the more diverse diverse teams out there and input and experiences, the better the ideas are, the better the impact is. And right. I think that's well proven.
So how do you get there?
And so I think that Chicago has an opportunity to show up in the world differently than a lot of the other startup ecosystems by bringing diversity to the forefront faster and not falling into some of the traps that have happened on at least on one of our coasts.
Traps being?
More of a bro culture, more of a sort of elite group,
right?
More less inclusive. And I think 1871 in particular already has a lot of programming with STEM for women and the Hispanic Incubator Group and the diversity scholarships. And so I think 60% of the team is female. I mean, I think they're already doing a lot. I think there's more to do and more ways to connect to other parts of the city.
All right. It's February 23rd.
Yeah.
Take me to April. What's your start date?
April 2nd.
Today, let's go to April 2nd okay. In our Way Forward machine. Yeah. What's your first day going to be like? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm investing a lot of time now so that my first day doesn't feel like a first day.
Right.
Right. So I'm getting to meet all the team members now, certainly members of the board, finding out, where the washroom is, where getting the key card.
Right.
So my first day, my plan is to hit the ground running pretty fast.
Okay, then a day from April 2nd, how do you think 1871 will be different under a year of your leadership?
A year from now. My hope for is, of course, to remain committed to the entrepreneurs who are the heartbeat of that organization, the reason why it exists, but also to expand fairly significantly with the corporate friends in town. I mean, we have 36 Fortune 500 companies in our backyard and 130 or 135 in the Midwest, right? We should have a much stronger connection to them, and I hope a year from now that's true.
Betsy Ziegler, the incoming leader, the CEO of 1871. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Best to your mom listening in Milwaukee.
Thank you for saying that. She'll be very pleased.
Oh, we love Milwaukee. I hope this is only the first of many times you come by.
I hope so, too. Thank you, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Minute, sharing the news and asking questions for small business owners. So you've probably been hearing a lot about these incubators and co-working spaces across the city, but what are they all about exactly? Well, one of Chicago's newest is M-Hub, a manufacturing incubator, and they recently shared an in-depth tour of their workspace, explaining how collaborating with entrepreneurs and business owners is just another part of the day. Could be the way to go as office space becomes more expensive and we're always looking at the bottom line. Airbnb is also looking at their bottom line since they reportedly paid $9.3 million in Illinois taxes in 2017. This is after a long-standing debate on whether Airbnb should be held to the same tax standards as traditional hotels. A lot of opportunity coming out of the Chicago market. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Thanks very much, Steve Alexander. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN as we get closer to the weekend. Again, I don't know if you're listening earlier, but we're starting a new feature on Wednesdays where we'll have an expert in from Wintrust to answer banking questions, predominantly business banking questions, and we'd like to get those from you. So if you run a business, if you shop at businesses, if you have seen a business and you have a business banking question or something close, love it if you would text it to us at 312-981-7200. Do it today. I wasn't clear about that. Do it today so that we can get the questions in all next week as well, and we'll hear from the experts on Wednesday. So banking questions at 312-981-7200. Speaking of telephones, on a telephone line right now is front row Phyllis for her every other Friday visit. Phyllis, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good. It looks to me like you got your eyes on some country music this week.
I do. We got lots of country stuff going on, and that's tomorrow evening. Brad Paisley is back in town, and he's actually here on his continuation of his Weekend Warrior Tour. And he's got some great special guests along with him, Dustin Lynch, Chase Bryant, along with Lindsay L., who is, I have to tell you, she could shred a guitar like no one's business. She's amazing, amazing.
Really?
And it's going to be over, yeah, seriously. And she's beautiful. Blonde, beautiful, and could shred a guitar, so go figure, right?
You're not talking about yourself again, are you, Phyllis?
Yeah, well, what can I say?
And so this is the Allstate Arena?
Yes, this is the Allstate Arena tomorrow night.
Are there tickets still available?
There are tickets still available. Wow. You know, Allstate's so huge, so I don't know how many, but there are some tickets available.
I'd pop in
so
you to see Brad. Want to jump. Yeah, I'd love to see Brad Paisley. That would be an easy call.
Yeah, absolutely. And then tonight, you know, tonight and tomorrow is the River Dance.
Oh, so yeah, okay.
This is their 20th anniversary world tour, and they have not been around for quite some time in terms of touring. And so, you know, I mean, they've been around for 20 years, but they haven't been touring for a while. And this is great. Tonight, it's over at Rosemont, right across the street. And so tonight is one show, and then tomorrow there's a 2 o'clock and an 8 o'clock performance.
Phyllis, I don't know, maybe I was on the tri-state and we saw a billboard for it or something, but I think it was with my son. I was in the car with my son trying to explain to him River Dance and how huge it was, and Michael Flatley. And, you know, if you explain it to someone who wasn't around, then it just sounds kind of funny almost, but it just was this huge phenom. And so now they're bringing it back a little bit.
They are bringing it back. You know, they are just filled with high energy, sensuality, and just, I got to tell you, it's just pure River Dance. It is so amazing and beautiful. It's almost kind of like watching the Rockettes, but it's Irish dancing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because of their, you know, the way that they move and the way that they're all together. So it's actually going to be pretty phenomenal
as
well.
So it's like the Rockettes, but with louder shoes and more wigs.
Yes. There you go.
All right.
We put our own show together.
I've never seen Joe Satriani, but he's one of these guys I feel like I should go see.
Oh, my goodness. Well, speaking of shredding guitars, these are going to be the top three guitar superstars are going to be over at the Chicago Theater. That's tonight. Joe Satriani, along with John Petrucci and Phil Collin, who's also known for, you know, he plays in Def Leppard.
Oh, I didn't know.
Here this summer.
I was going to say, how many people do you think buy tickets to see Phil Collin thinking they're going to see Phil Collins? What's the percentage?
Right. I don't know. Probably some.
I did not know he was with Def Leppard. So that sounds like, that's going to be, there's a lot of guitar going to be played at the Chicago Theater.
Oh, yeah. And they also are going to do several collaborations together. So it's really going to be a great show.
Hey, isn't this weekend the Chinese, is it this weekend is Chinese New Year or was that last weekend?
I think it was last weekend, but this weekend they're having an incredible show. It's in honor of Chinese New Year show over at the Grand Ballroom in Navy Pier. And it's tomorrow, and admission is free. And it's just a great family event to get a chance to see some of the beautiful performances, you know, lion dancing and martial arts, as well as some great traditional dance. And it's just really a great way to spend the day.
All right. Well, Phyllis, tell me, what's your website again?
It is. Just go to frontrowphyllis.com.
Front Row Phyllis. More information on these and a lot more shows. Thanks for coming by today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.